Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Stars of the Golden Age, a show that highlights the lives of legends from film, music, and the birth of television during Hollywood's Golden Age and the few years surrounding it. I am your host, Erin Carlson. Today, we will be talking about Patsy Kelly, one half of a very famous 1930s comedic movie duo. Before I begin, I want to give a warm welcome and a huge shout out to a new Patreon member. Thank you to Jessica, our newest friend over on Patreon. If you want to learn more about what I have to offer over there, listen at the end of this show and learn more. Thank you so much for supporting the show, Jessica, and I want to let you know that I will be covering one of the suggestions you shared with me next week. Who? Well, that's a surprise. But first, today, Patsy Kelly. There isn't a lot of valuable information out there about the life of Patsy Kelly, which is really sad to me because she had a truly remarkable life. She may be best known for being one half of the famous Thelma Todd-Patsy Kelly comedy duo in the early 1930s. But her career had so much more depth than those little comedy shorts. And her personal life was riddled with tragedy. Let's dive into the life of Patsy Kelly. Patsy Kelly was born as Bridget Sarah Veronica Rose Kelly on January 12, 1910 in Brooklyn, New York. So many names. Her parents were both Irish immigrants, John and Delia Kelly. Little Bridget, I'm just going to call her Patsy, was the youngest of five children. Only she and the second youngest child were born in the United States, and the others had been born in Ireland before the family immigrated in 1900. Bridget didn't become Patsy as some kind of later Hollywood transformation. Patsy was actually a nickname given to her as a child by her family. She was always the scapegoat as the youngest for the Kelly children's shenanigans, the Patsy. Patsy was a curious and energetic child, and she was always up to something. She had her fair share of childhood scrapes and bruises, and then some. When she was 7 years old, she had a terrifying fall from a fire escape. At 8 years old, she was hit by a car. She was just one of those kids that injury followed. Patsy aspired to be a firefighter, but that wasn't really a job women were allowed to have in the early 1900s. And her mother didn't really want her taking that kind of route in life either. Mother Delia enrolled her youngest daughter in dance classes to try to ease her into a more dignified and feminine course of life. It's hard to take the street out of the kid that quickly, though. Patsy broke her ankle by the end of her first week in dance class. She kept on, though, once she was healed. It was there at the Jack Blues School of Rhythm and Tap that Patsy met another girl who would go on to be her lifelong friend and would also later become a star, Ruby Keeler. Patsy's first taste of entertaining an audience came when she was 10 years old, and she was discovered by vaudevillian showrunner Frank Fay. Frank saw great potential in the child and began teaching her the comedic tools she would need to be a successful vaudeville performer. Frank Fay was right about Patsy Kelly. She devoted all of her energy to learning everything she could about being a great performer, and she was quickly Fay's number one sidekick on the stage. By the age of 13, alongside her vaudeville performances, she was even teaching dance and still going to school. Patsy stayed with Frank Fay's company for 6 years, from the age of 10 to 16. She later recalled that he proposed marriage to her when she was 15 years old. He was 34. Sixteen-year-old Patsy Kelly wanted to broaden her entertainment horizons. She had her eyes set on the bright lights of Broadway. Patsy made her Broadway debut in 1927 and was instantly a busy and consistent presence on Broadway. She was known to be dependable and very hardworking in the productions that she worked on. Patsy Kelly's film debut came in 1929. The same year of the stock market crash that signaled the start of the Great Depression. The film was a silent picture titled A Single Man, and her role was small and unaccredited, but still, she was in a movie. As Patsy's Broadway career continued to flourish, she was cast in another film, the 1931 comedy short The Grand Dame. And this was the work that made someone very powerful and very successful take notice. Legendary filmmaker Hal Roach, the man behind Laurel and Hardy and Our Gang, or The Little Rascals. Roach was also responsible for the comedic super team of Thelma Todd and Zazu Pitts. Looking for a replacement for Zazu Pitts in the comedy duo, he had his eye on the talents of Patsy Kelly. She had Broadway obligations to honor that she would never walk away from, but Hal Roach considered her worth the wait. In late 1932, Patsy Kelly said goodbye to the bright lights of Broadway and hello to the magical land of dreams on the other side of the nation, Hollywood. 1932 Hollywood was a place of glamour, excitement, change, hope, fame, and fortune. The first talking film was released just 5 years earlier, and the changing landscape of motion pictures was in full swing. Stars like Greta Garbo, Jean Harlow, Joan Crawford, Norma Shearer, and Clark Gable were the kings and queens of Tinseltown. It was a very exciting time in Hollywood history, and Patsy Kelly was right there for it. Hal Roach replaced Zazu Pitts with Patsy Kelly as Thelma Todd's new comedic partner in his film shorts. The first short film that paired them up was 1933's Beauty and the Bus. And they would go on to whip out 23 films together during the life of their partnership. Patsy starred in films outside of her partnership with Thelma Todd as well, as did Thelma. One such early film for Patsy was Going Hollywood with Marion Davies and Bing Crosby in 1933, less than a year after her arrival in Hollywood. Her career was moving along wonderfully. Accidents still followed Patsy Kelly in adulthood, and it led to an almost demise again in August of 1933, this time completely out of Patsy's hands. She had been attending an event at the Ship Cafe in Venice Beach with her good friend, drag performer Gene Malin, and his partner, Jimmy Forlenza. They left the event and got into Gene's car and prepared to drive off to their next adventure. Unfortunately, Jean put the car into reverse by accident and accelerated quickly in reverse, right off the pier and into the water below. Jean was tightly pinned under the steering wheel in the accident and died instantly. Jamie Forlenza sustained substantial bruising and a broken collarbone. And Patsy Kelly suffered from several life-threatening injuries. The car had been overturned in the water and was quickly submerged, with a severely injured Jimmy Forlenza and Patsy Kelly trapped inside. If it wasn't for the quick life-saving efforts of responders, both would have quickly drowned. This event was obviously extremely traumatic for Patsy. Not only had she lost a dear friend in the horrible accident, but she nearly escaped death herself. Jean Malin was only 25 years old at the time of his death. Such a tragedy. Ever the hardworking woman, Patsy Kelly got right back to work after she recovered from her physical injuries of the accident. 1934 would be her busiest year as an actress. She did 10 films with Thelma Todd and 4 additional films outside of the duo, so 14 films in 1 year. 1935 would start off just as busy. They were on fire. Aside from her films with Thelma Todd, Patsy was co-starring along with some of the biggest stars in Hollywood. Let's talk a little about Thelma Todd, because her story greatly impacts the story of Patsy Kelly. I'll definitely be covering her life at some point, but I'll just give you a really quick synopsis now so you can understand where she was at this point in her life and how it affected Patsy's life. Thelma had been married to alleged mobster Pat DeCicco for 2 short years, 1932 to 1934. Following her divorce, Thelma opened Thelma Todd Sidewalk Cafe alongside partner, both in business and under the sheets, Roland West. Married partner. It was a weird dynamic. The restaurant was hugely successful. Thelma Todd was a busy, busy woman, starring in back-to-back films and being extremely involved in her restaurant. On December 14, 1935, 17-year-old Ida Lupino's father, Stanley, was visiting from England and hosted a party for his friend Thelma Todd at the Cafe Trocadero on the Sunset Strip. After a fun and full evening, Thelma left the party in a chauffeured car around 2:30 in the morning, heading home to the restaurant. Both she and Roland had apartments on the upper floor of the restaurant. So the chauffeur dropped her off at the restaurant, and then for whatever reason, probably locked out, she hiked up the 270 stairs to the other home of Roland West, just up from the cafe. But he never saw her. No one saw Thelma Todd the following day. It was a little odd that she wasn't at the restaurant, but no one was overly concerned. After all, it had been a long night. Even glamorous stars get hangovers, right? The following morning, her body was discovered in the garage of Roland West's home just up from the restaurant, slumped over the steering wheel of her car that was parked in there. It was very confusing to investigators because she had been driven there by a chauffeur. Why was she in the driver's seat of her car in the garage? There are many theories floating around, and I will get into each and every one of them when I cover her story. But whatever the circumstances that led to this tragedy, the fact remains that screen goddess and successful restaurateur Thelma Todd was dead at the age of 29. One half of the successful Todd and Kelly screen duo was gone. Thelma Todd and Patsy Kelly had been on fire at the box office, and their fame was on the rise every single day. Thelma was not only Patsy's co-star, they had become really good friends. Just 2 years after the tragic loss of another young friend, Patsy had to emotionally tackle another great loss. Not only this, but the loss of Thelma Todd was going to greatly affect her professional life. Her on-screen partner in crime was gone. Thelma Todd and Patsy Kelly's final film together as a Hollywood super duo, An All-American Toothache, was released on January 25, 1936, just 5 weeks after the death of Thelma Todd. You know those big, powerful Hollywood execs. The show must go on. Hal Roach immediately set out to find a new partner for Patsy Kelly, so he could continue to bust out blockbuster shorts with a powerful comedic female duo. He found actress Lita Roberti for the job. Roberti was the new bleach blonde beauty to Patsy's brunette, quick-witted, more everyday brassy girl type. Patsy has been described along the same comedic lines as Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett, just to give you an idea of her style and image if you aren't familiar with her work. And now, teamed up with Lita Roberti, it was Patsy Kelly's turn to be the top-billed woman of the partnership. Unfortunately, moviegoers just didn't receive this new dynamic as well as they had their beloved Thelma Todd-Patsy Kelly pairing. Patsy and Lita Roberti made two films together for Hal Roach in 1936, and Patsy made four additional films that year apart from the partnership. It was a new era for Patsy Kelly's career now that she had lost her friend and co-star Thelma Todd. Still, Hal Roach was desperate to find an actress that could be paired with Patsy and have that same box office draw as the Todd Kelly projects. He replaced Lita Roberti with actress Pert Kelton in late 1936, and it still didn't have the pizzazz that he had hoped for. Nothing could recreate that Todd Kelly magic. Audiences didn't want a replacement. They wanted Thelma Todd with Patsy Kelly. Roach put Lita Roberti back in with Patsy for two more films in early 1937, and audiences were warming up a little more now. That year, 1937, Patsy slowed down a little with her nonstop working schedule, maybe having a little to do with all that tragedy and loss that seemed to keep coming. Well, the universe wasn't done with her yet. Another tragic loss, both to Patsy and countless others in Hollywood, occurred in June of 1937. Patsy's dear friend, Jean Harlow, died from kidney failure at the young age of 26. Another great, ambitious talent gone so tragically young. Just 6 months later, another friend and co-star was also lost in a tragic and unexpected way. 41-year-old actor Ted Healy died after a brutal beating outside of the Trocadero, ironically at the hands of Thelma Todd's ex-mobster husband, Pat DeCicco. Only 3 months after Ted Healy's death, comedy partner and friend Lita Roberti tragically died from heart failure, a result of a lifelong heart ailment. She was only 32 years old. Three more dear friends for Patsy Kelly left to grieve. Within the span of 9 months, she had tragically lost three more dear friends. Young friends. Patsy was 27 years old and had already endured so much loss. Outside of her Hollywood friends, Patsy's mother had died in 1930 when Patsy was only 20 years old. So much devastation seemed to transpire in Patsy Kelly's close circle that, after these several losses so close to her in such a short period of time, Patsy began to think maybe it was her. Maybe she was cursed. Maybe her presence was the cause of all of the tragedy around her. It was really, really difficult for her. Hal Roach decided not to pair Patsy up with another partner. It had been a good run, but the partnerships were just surrounded by too much tragedy. Plus, Hollywood was evolving. The comedy duos that had gripped the world for the last couple decades were starting to subside a bit. The world itself was changing as World War II heated up overseas. It was time for something different on Hollywood movie screens. By 1939, Hollywood films were almost unrecognizable from what was being rolled out just 5 years earlier. 1939 is considered to be Hollywood's greatest year. There were remarkable advances made in sound, color, and cinematography. And the world was introduced to a whole new style of Hollywood star. 1939 gave the world The Grapes of Wrath, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Stagecoach, The Wizard of Oz, And of course, Gone with the Wind. The silver screen was now dominated by Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, Vivian Leigh, Clark Gable, Judy Garland, Henry Fonda, Cary Grant, Katharine Hepburn, and the list goes on. Hollywood was going through a grand transformation once again. During that epic year of 1939, 29-year-old Patsy Kelly only appeared in one movie, The Gorilla with the Ritz Brothers. She appeared in only one movie in 1940 as well. Her movie star presence had been overtaken, and she was all but a film has-been. Patsy Kelly took this period of grand change to transition into the realm of radio, which was also, of course, incredibly popular in the late 30s and 1940s and highly lucrative. Maybe not silver screen lucrative, but it wasn't a bad gig. Let's talk about Patsy Kelly's personal life, because it is during this period where she also privately endures major change. Patsy was a lesbian, and she had been in a serious relationship with actress Wilma Cox. The two lived together for several years, and although she never quite completely came out publicly about her sexuality, although she gave some hints, it was a well-known fact amongst Hollywood circles. She was about halfway out of the closet, about as safe as it was to be in the 1930s. The long relationship between Patsy Kelly and Wilma Cox ended in 1940, at the same time as this major shift in Hollywood films, and Cox moved back to the East Coast. It was a huge season of change for Patsy Kelly, but not necessarily in a great way. Still, she was tough. She had endured so much, and she would endure this too. And she had radio, and still a little film work too. Patsy Kelly's last leading film role for a long, long time was in Danger, Women at Work in 1943. Patsy continued to work steadily in radio throughout most of the 1940s, and she also had a stormy intermittent relationship with actress Tallulah Bankhead that lasted for several years. Patsy was a monogamous relationship type of girl, and well, Tallulah Bankhead was not so much. So it never really had the chance to develop into anything too serious, but they spent several years in a romantic on-again, off-again cycle. As World War II continued for the first half of the 1940s, Patsy Kelly contributed a great deal of time and energy to the war effort. She entertained troops often, both at the Hollywood Canteen and the Stage Door Canteen. In fact, she had entertained servicemen at the Stage Door Canteen more than any other entertainer during World War II. By the end of the 1940s, Patsy Kelly's film career was pretty much dormant. Her unwillingness to conform to the standard social norms of the day prevented the big Hollywood studios from wanting to take her on. Standard social norms like maximum femininity, focusing on beauty and style first, heterosexuality, dainty ladylike speech, and not wearing pants. She wasn't about to sacrifice her soul to fit into the mainstream film world. And then came the explosion of television in the early 1950s. Patsy stayed fairly busy appearing on variety shows and game shows throughout the 50s. And then, by the start of the next decade, she was really settling in as a television star. In 1960, she appeared in the hit shows Laramie, The Untouchables, and Alfred Hitchcock Presents. She also stepped back onto the big screen in 1960 when she teamed up with Doris Day and David Niven in Please Don't Eat the Daisies, and another movie in 1960, The Crowded Sky. Now 50 years old, Patsy's career was going under quite the revival. Oh, and she was also awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1960. Privately, Patsy loved to socialize and she loved to entertain. She was an avid cook and she loved good food. She gravitated mostly towards good old home cooking and baked goods. And she loved to share her passion with her friends. Most Sundays were spent entertaining guests. A sample menu Patsy may have served her Sunday guests might have included shrimp cocktail. She once said, "I will go out of my way anytime to get a shrimp cocktail." There might have been roast beef, mashed potatoes, string beans, and sweet potatoes topped with marshmallows. She loved those. Dessert likely would have been peach shortcake or apple and lemon pie. And there would always be bread, probably hot biscuits. "I am mad about bread," she once said while talking about her love of cooking. Patsy also loved watching movies and spent a lot of evenings watching the latest films in movie theaters, sometimes seeing up to 10 movies in a week. Although she loved to socialize, she wasn't one to hit the big Hollywood party scenes. She didn't really enjoy going out. She was happiest in a movie theater or at home with her closest friends. Patsy continued television work throughout the 1960s, including a guest starring role on one of my favorite TV shows, The Dick Van Dyke Show, in 1962, and a few more film roles, too. Maybe her most recognizable movie role in these revival years of Patsy Kelly's career was her appearance in the 1968 film Rosemary's Baby. That same year, she had a memorable role on the super hit TV show Bonanza. The clips I saw of Patsy Kelly during this period of her career were so enjoyable. She really had such a fun and entertaining screen presence. As Patsy Kelly ushered in the 1970s as a 60-something, she made the grand return to Broadway, back to her roots. She appeared in the 1971 revival of No, No, Nanette. Her portrayal of Pauline in the musical gained her a nomination for Best Supporting Actress at the 1971 Tony Awards. And guess what? She won. At 61 years old, after all the ebbs and flows of her long career, Patsy Kelly had won a Tony Award. I saw a clip of her Tony win, and she was so shocked by her name being announced that she stumbled her way up to the stage. She literally crawled up half of the short staircase that led to the stage. Or maybe it was her comedy. I don't know, but it was pretty cute. She gathered herself as she accepted the statue, and looking divine in her beautiful white formal pantsuit and white heels, she addressed the audience. "The nomination was enough," she began, "but this is too much." She thanked several people, including her lifelong friend Ruby Keeler, who was a co-star in the production with her. She ended her acceptance speech by saying, "I'm going home now to faint. Goodbye." Receiving the Tony Award had been such a special moment for Patsy, most notably because she received the award at the Palace Theater where the award ceremony was held. It was that very theater, the Palace Theater, where Patsy Kelly made her vaudeville debut at the age of 10. Her feet first hit the stage in that very theater. And here she was being honored with the highest award for stage work in that same theater 51 years later. Patsy followed up her Broadway success in No, No, Nanette with another Broadway hit, Irene, opposite Debbie Reynolds in 1972. She was nominated once again for a Best Supporting Actress Tony Award in 1972. I watched an interview with Debbie Reynolds and Patsy Kelly on Johnny Carson from 1972, and she was so funny. And of course, Johnny Carson asked her about Tallulah Bankhead in a very roundabout way. Just kind of sprinkling that name into conversation, but not really coming out to ask the questions everybody probably wanted to hear. Patsy said of Tallulah, "She was a great lady, a great friend, a great actress." When Johnny asked about Tallulah Bankhead's unique outspoken style, Patsy said, "Yeah, she would say she was as pure as the driven slush." Patsy Kelly's final movie role was in the 1979 Walt Disney movie, The North Avenue Irregulars. I haven't seen this movie, but it's described as this. Six church ladies become super sleuths and set out to foil crime their own way. The great Cloris Leachman is one of those ladies as well. Might have to check that one out. Patsy's final television appearance was also in 1979, a guest role on the TV show that maybe had the most iconic guest roles in television history, The Love Boat. By the time of this appearance, Patsy's physical appearance had really begun to change. She had lost quite a bit of weight and seemed to really age quickly now. She was only 69 years old, but she looked much older. She had worked hard for years. I don't think she really gave her body many opportunities to rest. In 1980, Patsy suffered a severe, debilitating stroke. She began the long process of rehabilitation at the motion picture and television Country House, but her body had endured too much with the stroke. And then she was diagnosed with cancer. She had pushed through life so hard and so energetically. It was all her body could handle. Patsy Kelly died on September 24th, 1981. She was 71 years old. And now I would like to share some other interesting things I learned during my research. Thing, I should say. Bullet point number one. I mentioned that vaudeville showman Frank Fay, the man who introduced her to show business, proposed to her when she was still a teenager. Well, after she said no, she called him Frank one time instead of Mr. Fay, thinking they were maybe on a more casual level, you know, since he asked her to marry him and all. Well, he didn't like that. He fired her. Once he was over his little hissy fit, he took her back in. I wish I could give you more than that, but like I said, there just isn't a whole lot of information out there about her. Which is a real shame because from what I've had the pleasure of learning, it sounds like she was a really remarkable woman. In conclusion, Patsy Kelly's career began at the very young age of 10 years old. She graced the little vaudeville stages, the big Broadway stages, the little screens, the big screens, and the radio airwaves for an impressive 60 years. Reflecting on her own career during the 1960s, Patsy Kelly said, "I laughed from the time I arrived at the studio until I left at night. I was almost ashamed to take a paycheck. In 40-odd years in show business, some years I could do no wrong, and some years I could do nothing right. Show business, I owe it everything. It owes me nothing." Patsy went from one half of one of the most famous comedic film duos to a Hollywood has-been in less than a decade. And then, just when you least expect it, there she is, crawling out of the ashes. Only she was never gone. She was just working her way back to the top. Nothing could hold Patsy Kelly down. Patsy Kelly endured numerous devastating losses. Just think about the tragic losses she had to pull herself through. And through it all, she marched through to the other side and just kept giving all she had to her performances. She was tough. She wasn't going to use any of her personal tragedies as an excuse to avoid doing her very best in everything she did. Maybe she did it for them. Maybe most importantly, Patsy Kelly lived the life she wanted to live in a time when it was really, really difficult to do so. She was supposed to love men, and there were men she loved, but not in the romantic way she was supposed to. Her sexuality wouldn't matter one bit today, but it was challenging to live as a gay individual during Patsy Kelly's lifetime. Her sexuality and her personal choices in the way she lived her life most likely led to the decline of her career in the 1940s. There were strict moral codes, and she didn't fit into that mold that so many other actresses were happy to squeeze into. She lived life her own way, and that's pretty admirable. Her story should really be yelled from the rooftops. Please take some time to watch a couple of Patsy Kelly movies. Check out a couple of the Thelma Todd Patsy Kelly shorts, like Air Fright or Beauty and the Bus. They're both just 20 minutes long. And then check out some of her later work, I'll be looking for that Disney movie she did with Cloris Leachman, but check her out in Rosemary's Baby, too. She is really, really magnificent. She is funny, she is spunky, and she is bold. A true gem, and not given nearly as much credit as she deserves. Thank you, Patsy Kelly, for showing us what true strength looks like. It's so easy to crumble at the weight of emotional pain, but you are a reminder of how we all have an inner strength that can help us overcome anything. Thank you for showing us we should never give up. Thank you for being you, because by you doing so, you are helping to show others that it's okay to be them too. And thank you all for listening. I would like to share a listener review now. This review is from Lainey99 on Apple Podcasts, who wrote, quote, "My favorite. On top of being entertaining, I think the preschool teacher perspective adds valuable insight," end quote. Thank you, Lainey99. I'm glad my sprinkling in of brain and child development stuff every now and then isn't too nerdy or too annoying. I'm just always analyzing human behavior and the effect a person's early childhood may have had on certain areas of their development and life choices. And boy, do we learn about some doozy childhoods in these stories. Thanks again. Don't forget to follow the show where you listen to your podcasts and give the show a positive rating and review if you don't mind. And maybe I'll read your review someday as well. And give the show a follow on Facebook and Instagram. Also, please consider supporting the show on Patreon. For a small monthly fee, you can support the production of this podcast and receive some fun bonus content in return. Each month, I release a full-length bonus episode, a Movie of the Month bonus shorty episode, and the new feature, Cocktail Party, which is really, really fun. Visit patreon.com/starsofthegoldenagepodcast to learn about the different tiers of support. I couldn't find a book about Patsy Kelly, so my primary source was a documentary on YouTube titled This is Patsy Kelly by Lori Suzanne Dell. That was a really wonderful resource. I also used Wikipedia and, of course, IMDb.